one of the first things right off the bat, I noticed that there were, at least in my head, what I would consider to be a lot of homeowner associations. I've probably the most in any of the communities I've lived in. But then I read your blog and learned that there were 60 HOAs, and I never would have counted that many.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a few in College Station, yes.
Is that unusual for a city of this size?
Not necessarily, and it's primarily because College Station is a fairly young city. In younger cities, that does tend to be the trend. So that's kind of why College Station probably has more than maybe some cities of similar size that may be a little older. The community is relatively new. I think the 75th birthday will be next year. So, and the majority of the development has really sort of grown by leaps and bounds in the last 5 to 10 years. And since that time frame, HOAs have sort of been very popular nationwide.
And the reason for that would be?
Well, in a lot of communities that are planned development communities, once the developer gets done, particularly if it's a large enough community, what he or she does is they hold on to it until a certain time frame when it has enough residents to manage itself. And that's when the HOA takes its role, takes its course after that. So we do have quite a few planned communities, planned development communities here, and that sort of trend is par the course for those types of communities.
Is it oversimplification to make the statement that HOAs get the benefits of all the amenities that come with being in an incorporated city, but also have some additional, I hate to be so blunt to say rules and regulations, but there's a certain definition to what a particular geography will accept.
Right. They do all of the same things that apply throughout the rest of the city can apply in a neighborhood where there is an HOA. In some instances, the HOA may have a piece in their covenant or deed restrictions that's more restrictive or a little bit more tough than what the city may have on the books. And in that case, the deed restrictions always went out. And here in the city of College Station and pretty much nationwide, cities don't mitigate deed restrictions. So if a deed restriction says this is what we are to abide by, then that's what the neighborhood has to abide by. So they could be more stringent or less stringent than city codes and ordinances.
Which is the perfect segue to move into this area where there are new state laws requiring HOAs to do a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what brought about the interest on the state level in doing this?
I think it was probably maybe the last 5 years. There have been some fairly high-profile lawsuits between homeowners and their associations that sort of fed some of what you see legally. And in most cases, the types of lawsuits that elevated to that point are really somewhat not an ongoing occasion. You don't see those happen all the time. So for every association out there that's ended up with a lawsuit, there are at least three or four out there that are performing very well. But some of these high-profile cases between HOAs and residents have risen in some cases to state, regional, and national attention. Has sort of given rise to the idea that there need to be possibly some more things in place to help guide the HOA process from the state level.
So some changes took effect January 1st. Your mm-hmm. blog notes that you had about 80 representatives of local HOAs mm-hmm. participate in a meeting in late February. I'm guessing you are happy with the turnout and the proactiveness of the HOAs to want to know?
Yes, I think it was a fantastic turnout, and we still had people who called and said, I won't be able to make the meeting, but if you have any type of notes, would you please send them out to me? And that was at least another 20-plus people. So the interest in it was overwhelming, and I think most of the HOAs knew, just hearing the fact that there were new laws, and they wanted to know what they were so that they could try to be in compliance with them as much as possible. So I was very pleased with the turnout, and we have some great associations in this area that are very proactive on any given basis on issues that come down the pike, but this was a very good turnout, and we were happy to see so many of them come out so that they could find out what these laws were and how to adjust their operations in light of the changes.
based on your observations, what sort of changes may have caught the HOA representatives off guard the most, or were surprised about, or having to, as quickly as possible, adapt to the new state laws?
Well, I think some of them would be open meetings and open records and records retention policies probably caught a lot of people's eyes because, you know, most HOAs, the people that are on the boards are volunteers. They either work, they have kids, and this is something that they do almost as an act of community service to give time back to the community that they live in. So sometimes, you know, it can be difficult for them to get everybody together to have a meeting because everybody's schedules are kind of all over the place. So now that you're going to have to possibly post meetings and let people know way ahead of time when the meetings are going to be, I think that's one that probably caught a lot of people's eyes, as well as records retention and open records policies. Those are not things that an average HOA would have ever had in place. That is something you kind of see a little bit more in municipal and state government than you do in a homeowners association. Also, probably a lot of the things about the way foreclosures can be done may have caught people's attention. We don't have a problem in this community with HOAs and foreclosures, but in some other larger cities who've had sort of the crash from the housing bubble, they've had to deal with that more than we have. Making sure that their voting and election procedures kind of have a whole new twist to them. I think those were some of the things that really caught a lot of people's attention. And those are just basic everyday operations that they are now going to have to modify their processes to be in compliance with these laws. So I think those things were probably sort of the things that caught people's eye right away, that said, well, we need to take a look at this so that we can adapt our practices so that we can be in compliance with these laws and just get prepared to begin to operate given what they're asking for.
Much like an elected government body is.
Pretty much. That a lot of those types of things that you may even see us do here at the city, like posting meetings and minutes from the meeting coming back out after a certain time frame, all of those types of things are definitely things that we do here that the HOAs will have to adapt their practices to include those things now.
Another question regarding the turnout, if you have any sort of idea, how many of the 80 representatives that attended the meeting in February, were they leadership of HOAs, or did you find some kind of mix of also just property owners who were interested in attending?
I mean, it was a good mix. We had HOA boards, we had HOA presidents, we had people who managed HOAs, because we do have several HOA management companies here in town that manage HOAs and work with the boards. We had quite a few of them. We even had some property management companies, because there are several real estate companies in town who have a property management division who basically manages HOAs as well. So it was a very good mix of a little bit of everybody, people who had been on the board before and were still somewhat active in the HOA and wanted to know. So we had a really good mix of people with affiliations with the HOAs that attended.
And the reason why I asked that would be the follow-up question of for those who are just property owners living in HOAs that maybe this is going to be the first time that they hear that there are some new things out there on the state level. What would you tell those folks that they should be aware of?
One thing I would have them do is if they have access to the blog, to go in, there's a presentation on there from the meeting that night that would give great information on what to look for. And also there are links on there to the presentation and the notes, as well as a legislative summary that was done by the Texas Community Advocates Association that basically spells it out in layman's terms what to expect and how the HOA should operate given the new changes. Those would be the three places that I would recommend people to look. The documents aren't that long, and they're kind of put into different phases to where you can easily understand them. So those would be the places that I would ask people to take a look at. And then, of course, be sure to ask their HOA, are they aware of them? Because, you know, we did have a lot of HOAs there. We notified a whole bunch of them, but there were still some who weren't present. So perhaps they may be able to bring that information to their HOA. So those are the places that I would encourage them to look. Also, they could look at the Texas Legislature's website. They also have each one of the bills and who authored the bill and the vote and the final version of the bill that is now law. So those are the places that I would recommend that they look and basically kind of bounce that off of what they saw in the blog. We just kind of did bullet points of each one of those pretty important things, but I think those are some good places to start to see what's out there in regards to the new laws.
And from here out, from the city's perspective, from planning and development and your role in neighborhood services, how do you monitor the HOA issue from this point on?
Well, basically what we do is we provide support to the HOAs, getting them this type of information and training and things of that nature. I think for what it's going to do for me is I will probably have to do more trainings on these types of things so that the HOAs know how to do them. So it would kind of impact the types of services that I offer, whereas we've been doing training on, you know, having new officers and, you know, succession and what do you do when you are trying to recruit and get new people. It's going to probably change that to how does it look, how does an open records policy look, how does a records retention policy look. So from my standpoint, it won't be as much monitoring as it will be making sure that they are prepared for these changes and being sure that they have the training and the tools to be able to comply.
Have I missed anything that residents and leadership in HOAs should know about regarding this?
You know, I think it's we've pretty much summed it up.
Okay.
I think that probably there are going to be people who are still going to have questions as to how this works. Quite a few people have already, boards have begun to meet again to look at, hey, what do we need to do to change and adjust? And I would recommend that if your association hasn't done that or you're not doing that, that you somewhat quickly find a way to start doing that, because with the law having taken place and it's now in effect as of January 1, expected compliance was from that date. And how well the associations comply with these laws really could set the stage for 2014. And hopefully people would adjust and comply with these laws so that in 2014 we'll be able to have a good showing of HOAs around the state to say these laws were rolled out, we're working with them, they've strengthened us, and we've been able to adjust our operations in light of what they are. So it's my hope that when there's some type of review or reflection in the next 2 years after these laws, that they will find HOAs faring better, or if not just as good as they were when the laws came along. So that's my goal, and that's my hope for the HOAs here and statewide.
The other thing from a closing observation, I guess I would offer, anytime you increase communication within an organization, in this case HOAs, I would think that's a benefit for everyone involved.
Absolutely. It is definitely a benefit. You know, when you are a part of an association or you move into a community and you're part of that association, people like to know what's going on. They like to know what the operations are, how things are going, and this increases that opportunity for them to ask some of these questions and then get that same feedback back from the association. So anytime those doors of communication, particularly on operations, are open, it's a good thing.